Podcast Help Desk number 91 for October 7th, 2016, brought to you by Blueberry Podcasting, a Raw Voice company. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, whatever the case may be. And today I don't really have any news, and I don't really have much else other than a great conversation that I had with Gary Leland from, well, probably the most famous in the podcasting world would be Podcast Pickle. He's also a co-founder of the Podcast Movement Conference. And on top of all that, he has a lot of offline businesses in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I should really say that Gary has both online and offline businesses. And I will have a link to a lot of his stuff in the show notes. But without further ado, here's Gary Leland and my conversation with him yesterday. All right, Gary, thanks for being on Podcast Help Desk.
Hey, I'm happy to be here. I am happy to be here.
Oh, very good. Yeah, we had a little technical glitchery going on earlier today, so we finally got you on here.
All that technical glitchery was on my end, and it's called double booking.
Well, hey, it happens. Big deal.
And I was already doing the other project when I got your message. You know, I was going, and I couldn't stop to get with you. And then I thought it was so funny. I said, oh, is that scheduled now? You said, half an hour ago. I go, I feel even worse now.
Yeah, like I said, as I said offline, I got plenty to keep me busy, so not a problem whatsoever. So, as you know, my show mainly goes towards the advanced amateur hobbyist podcaster and maybe, you know, some light business. And I know, you know, you got into podcasting right from the get-go back in, 2004, was it?
Yeah, December of 2004.
Okay.
And there weren't very many people doing podcasts back then.
No, you know, and I got in like April of 2005 and there still wasn't very many.
I remember we made, a lot of what I did back then was on our podcast directory, Podcast Pickle. That was before iTunes was out. You know, people had to go to these directories to find podcasts. And when we built that directory, I still remember when I went home and told my wife, there are now 50 podcasts on there. Can you believe it, honey? There's 50 of them. I still can remember that.
Yeah, I think I was in the first maybe 100 on Podcast Pickle.
Yeah, that was a funny about 50. I was so excited.
Yeah, that was quite the directory.
380,000.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And that was some directory back then, you know. And a lot of us listened to pretty much everything that came along, whether we liked the subject or not.
It wasn't a lot to listen to.
No, but hey, we had fun.
Back in the day, we cooked back in the day. You know, then iTunes cleaned us out of, that was so much better. I even switched to iTunes instead of using my own directory. And then Twitter killed our forums, you know, because all the tech people were the first person in Twitter, people in Twitter.
Yeah.
So we got hit. Bam, bam, twice, and then, yeah, before you knew it, it was an irrelevant site.
Yeah, well, it happens to the best of us. I had one about listening to airplanes on your police scanner, and, you know, now that everybody's got a phone in their pocket that can get a scanner app or a FlightAware app or watch radar on their phone, you know, that totally went away, too.
You know, one thing though, Mike, I can always say for the rest of my life, because of that 2 year period from 2004 to 2006, where we were, you know, major a player in the podcast industry, because of that site, I was in Time Magazine's 50 coolest websites in the world.
Yes, I remember that.
I will always be able to pull that card out.
Yeah, I do. I believe I have that copy somewhere.
Yeah, they. It's funny that they put me in. You know, and actually, when you think about it, Mike, there were like 9 people in my category. It was the tech category, and it was Facebook, YouTube, Photo Bucket, and a bunch of them, and mine is the only company that didn't become a billion-dollar business. So, gosh, right. What does that really say? I kind of screwed the pooch, maybe.
Yeah, well, you know, when Apple comes in and takes, you know, takes 90% of your business, what can you do, you know?
Yeah, we were wrong, evidently.
Yeah, because I remember, you know, when both of us started, you know, iTunes didn't exist as far as podcasting was concerned, and they only added podcasting just so they had something in iTunes before they made all their record deals.
So, yeah, it's funny when you hear someone, sometimes you'll still, well, now even more with so many people, you'll hear someone say, "It is so cool that Apple came and invented this podcasting."
Yeah, no, they didn't invent podcasting. That's that was, I guess, Weiner and Adam Curry. And yeah, I remember, you know, tuning into the source code and
every day.
Yeah, and what was Dave's show? He had one too, didn't he?
No, he had that blog. I don't think he ever actually had a show. If he did, I wasn't familiar with it.
No, I think him and Adam did a show for a while, for a short time. That's what it was.
I didn't listen to it. Longest show I've listened to is probably Scott Sigler's podcast. You know, he does the books on podcasts.
Yeah.
He was the first person to give away a book on a podcast in 2005.
Right,
I've been listening since 2005 to that podcast.
Yeah, I haven't listened to any of his stuff in a long time, but I really liked that Galactic Football League series he had.
Yeah, I do too. I like everything he puts out.
Yeah, he's
a big sci-fi buff, though, and he's a really nice guy.
Right, and he's a pretty big time author now. He's gets the top listings in Amazon and all that. He's got a real book deal too, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, three books.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of work. You know, have you ever seen those orange Kraken uniforms for the football league that people wear?
Yeah, I've heard of that. That's your company, isn't it?
Yeah, we make those for him.
Ah, very
cool. We were talking at Dragon Con, and him and I went to go eat one day, and we knew each other, but not really good friends, but we knew each other, and we both were in Dragon Con, and he said, and I knew what he did. But he knew I did Podcast Pickle, but he said, "What do you do besides Podcast Pickle?" And I told him I had a sporting goods company. And he said, "Do you do football uniforms?" I said, "Sure, I can do anything." And he goes, "Well, I may give you a call someday. I have an idea for a book." And I said, "Okay, give me a call." And then he called me one day and said, "I'm going to release this book, and these aliens have these uniforms. Can you make these football jerseys?" I said, "Sure." So we've sold hundreds and hundreds. We pay him a licensing fee.
Nice.
We sold hundreds of those things. I mean, you can go to any event he's at, the whole audience is filled with people wearing these. And they're not cheap. They're like $110 a uniform.
Nice. Yeah, sure.
They're not cheap.
And all because of podcasting. Well, you know, I was, like I said, I talked to, I'm focused on amateur podcasters or hobbyist podcasters, however you want to say that. And not as much for business, but you're a straight up business guy, and
yeah, I've always done it for business from the get go, and you know, and if you think about that, especially in the early days, Mike, so many people were into the fact that it's art, you know, like at Ontario, California. You know, if you were trying to make money at it, a lot of people were against, this is a free art. We can't have commercials in this, and we can't do that. And I've always been, you know, doing it from business from the get-go, but it's been very acceptable. Everybody has accepted that. It did then, and now everybody's just about trying to make money.
Yeah, and now it's the other way around. You know, people quit their day job expecting to make a living podcasting, and that isn't exactly what you do either, though. You mainly use your podcast as a way to boost your offline business.
Yeah, my podcasting, well, boost my offline and my online business. It's my advertising means. You know, a lot of people go into podcasting looking for a sponsor, you know, hoping that they can get someone to pay them $10 per 1,000 listens or whatever the rate is. I don't even know what the rate is because I'm not into that. Where I don't want to get any sponsors because I want to sponsor my show. So I create content for the sole purpose of being able to sponsor the content.
Right. And you do, well, you got your sporting goods, mainly focused on softball, as I remember it. Mm-hmm. And that's then you also have, what, a wallpaper store? Is that?
Yeah, the largest wallpaper store in Texas. That website went live in 96. And we're starting a podcast for the wallpaper store very, very soon. We put up episode 1. I guess I should have made it episode 0, but that just sounds so weird to me. I made it episode 1.
Yeah, we have a debate going on this show whether episode 0 or 1 is appropriate.
Yeah, I thought that sounded odd. So I went with 1, and it's based. Us discussing the topic that the show is going to be about and telling you it's a home and garden TV show podcast. I guess I'll be the first independent home and garden TV show podcast.
Yeah.
The show Fixer Upper. Have you ever seen that show?
No, I haven't.
It's like super popular. I mean, so popular, but we're going to, you know, after every episode, my wife and I are going to do a podcast about Fixer Upper in the first episode 1, 0, whatever it is. Tells you what we're going to do, just so people could start subscribing, and
right. And you can show off that fancy brick wall you put up in your studio.
Hey, it looks good. People don't believe it's brick.
It looks good.
It's wallpaper.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. As I said, it looked good to me. The pictures they've seen. Yeah,
I've been telling people. You know, it's funny. I've been telling people for years. I see them talking online. I'm looking for something that looks like brick to put on my wall, and I go, "Well, I'll buy some wallpaper." And they go, no, I need something. Really, that wouldn't do the job. And they never could tell me why it wouldn't. And I'm not going to sit here and argue with someone, you know, as to whether they should get it or not. We sell tons of it, like the decorators, TV sets, or theater sets, especially theaters.
Yeah.
And then everybody who's seen this so far has been going, God, I can't believe that that's wallpaper. I can't believe that. And I'm going, I've only been saying for years.
Yeah. Through the camera, though, it looks like the real thing, you know, it's the way video is. You can, don't believe what you see.
But see, that's whenever I talk about that, I always push brickwallpaper.com. That's the website I sell. Nothing but a selection of brick wallpaper. So it's on there. It's wallpaper. It looks like brick. We sell a ton of it.
Hey, would that work on crazy 70s paneling?
It would. It would work on crazy. You just have to either fill in those little, how it has this little indentation between the panels.
Yep.
Either fill those in because when you'd rip it in those spots, or else do something, because that would be the only thing is be careful. You know, don't be poking on it a lot.
Right, right.
It'd be okay. It would. I would just be scared about the sunken part, the strips that are sunken.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, it would cover it right up. It covered it real well, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, my studio here is, was made in the 60s. And ironically, I have a real brick wall, but the camera's facing the other way.
Right. So,
oh, well.
It might be easier to put up wallpaper than move the wall.
Not going
to
turn the whole thing around. But, I live in a 1960s log cabin, or 1940s log cabin that was remodeled in the 60s. So, and then, of course.
Hey, if you get a chance, go to fixeruppodcast.com.
Yeah, I'll have to definitely.
Episode 0. It's just me and my wife talking right now. So I think that thing's going to take off like a rocket, to be honest with you. I just feel that.
Oh, that's going to be great.
Hot subject.
And those of you out there that are doing video that want a cool brick wall background, talk to Gary.
Yeah. Yeah. So, what we do is we sell wallpaper.
Right. And the other site that is big for you is that Fast Pitch TV.
Yeah, that's we get a lot of business from there. That's our site. We put all our videos, and we used to have our audio podcast on it. We finally moved that over to the fastpitchradio.com.
Oh, that makes sense.
We have our audio podcast there. We have like a network, really. I send out all my different podcasts that have to do with softball on one feed, like a radio station.
Sure.
And as people, like if you're using your app on your phone and you're scrolling down, looking at the Fast Pitch Radio Network podcast, you see the show titles. You might go, I don't like this one. Oh, but I like this one. You know, but they all go down that one feed. I don't want to have to find 5 different sets of subscribers.
Right.
So
that makes sense.
I got that idea from Sigler, as a matter of fact, because he runs all his shows on one feed. You know, he did his first show back in 2005. On a feed, and then he started a second book, and he did a new feed, and he's like, "Holy cow!" He told me, "He goes, There was nobody there. It took me forever to build up an audience. So I never did it anywhere, but there's one feed, you know? So, that's what I do is I do all my shows on one feed. And then I have a person, another person who does shows on our network. It's kind of an interesting story. We had a girl who wanted to do a podcast. So we tell people who want to do softball podcasts, they can do it as long as they leave us a spot for the commercial. They leave us a spot for the commercial. We'll send their podcast out on our feed if it's a softball podcast. And her first podcast, I mean, had over 1,000 listens. First one. How many podcasters start out with episode one having 1,000 listens?
Yeah, that's not usually the way it works.
Yeah, so that was real exciting for her. I think one of them, I think by the third month, she hit 5,000 listens one month. You know, so, I mean, that's the beauty of having a network all on one feed.
Yeah, a lot of people that do networks, they'll have a feed for every network or every show, and each one of them will get a little bit of listen, and then a lot of them will have a feed that has all the shows from the network in it, but that doesn't work for some people, and in your case, since you've got a popular show and a popular network in that niche, that's another way of doing it, and I think it sounds like a good idea because you can introduce shows and you'll definitely get feedback if the people don't like the show. So.
Yeah. And if they don't like the show, they're just going to skip that one in their feed.
Exactly.
You know, like when it was a fast pitch trivia show, someone says that show's stupid. I'm not listening anymore. It's not like they got to click on it. They just hit listen to already or played or done or whatever, and get it out their feed.
Sure. Yeah. Put it on the listener.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Then, everybody who's pushing that show, everybody who's in that feed with their own podcast pushing their feed, they're all pushing the same feed. So if you got 10 podcasts in there, you have 10 people pushing that one feed. So everybody's benefiting instead of them just benefiting themselves from what they pushed. Their one show, every show benefits.
Yeah, so that's a kind of automatic cross promotion.
Kind of like a car lot.
Yeah.
Car lots are already on the same street.
Yep.
I don't care what city you go to. If you go where the car lots are, there are going to be like 10 of them right there next to each other. Yep. It's not like they go, hey, I want to do a car lot. I'm going to do it where there's nobody around. That's not what they do. They go, where are all the car lots? I'm opening one up there too.
Yeah, that's
the way I think podcasts, that's how I consider this, the form I use. It's like, car lots. Let's all benefit each other. We all make more money when we all get together in one feed.
Yeah, and that's kind of the way podcasting started. Do you remember back in the day, everybody would send promos to each other? And, right. And even if you did a podcast about softball and two other people did other podcasts about softball, you would send your promo to them and they would send their promo to you. And because in podcasting in general, it's not necessarily a competition as much as in some other venues, if you're on CBS at 8 o'clock with your TV show, you're not going to promote NBC's 8 o'clock TV show. But with podcasting, since it's not a time thing, it's not a problem to promote your competition. The more people listening to shows about softball or whatever the niche is, the more listeners there are out there for everybody.
Right, that's correct. Yeah, the more people listening, I don't think you're going to lose a listener and go, I'm going to listen to this one instead. People who like podcasts want to listen to more than one.
Yeah, and if I'm into ham radio, and if I'm really into ham radio, I'll listen to more than one ham radio podcast.
Right. Because
I want to know everything there is to know. And it's funny, in my niche here with podcasts about podcasting, there's a whole bunch of us doing it. But we're all friends, or most of us, and we all argue with each other. That's kind of fun, Lately, Dave Jackson and I have been in a back and forth, not really an argument, but he has a different opinion than I do about a certain thing, and we've been going back and forth, and it's been a lot of fun. And I think he enjoys it, I enjoy it, and our listeners all listen back and forth, and they listen to both of us, and the rest of this niche and you do that in any niche. It's, the more friends you make in the podcasting world, the better, regardless of whether they would be considered competition or not.
You are correct, my man.
And to that end, you also had something to do with the podcast movement.
I was one of the four founders of Podcast Movement.
Yeah, and you were the head greeter at the one in Chicago this summer. That was a lot of fun. You hung around with us quite a bit.
That's my job, is to greet and meet. That's all about I do. I'm real honest about it. That's all I do is go around, check on all the vendors, introduce myself, tell them if they need any help to let me know that I won't be able to help them, but I'll find someone who can.
There you go.
And I do probably the least amount of that. And that's a shame, but that's just the way it turned out.
Hey.
And that's fine. I can live with it.
Yeah, exactly. And, the team you put together or that got put together, however that worked, put on a heck of a deal in Chicago. That was the first one I had went to. Of course, I was there with Blueberry, and Mackenzie and I got to see a lot of you at the booth.
Yes, because that's where I'm hanging out, is by the booth. You know, I've enjoyed that event. The first year, we did it in Dallas, and we were hoping, we did a Kickstarter to try to get some help. We were hoping to get, I think, maybe $12,000, and we ended up getting $38,000 from our Kickstarter. So we did it in Dallas, and I think we had 700 people maybe come. Then in Fort Worth, we did it, and maybe we had the next year, we had 1,000 people come. In 2016, we did it in Chicago, as you said, and we had maybe 1,500 people come. Next year, it's in Anaheim, and we can hold up to 3,000 people. I don't think we'll get 3,000, but we have enough room to break the 1,500 mark, I guess is basically what I'm saying.
Sure.
And, but this year, you know, in Chicago, we sold out of tables. We sold out of sponsorship stuff. We sold out of tickets. We sold out of everything there was. I mean, there was nothing else to sell.
Well, that's the way you want to do it. Bump it up for next year. I'm looking forward to Anaheim. Never been to Anaheim, so.
I have never been to Anaheim either.
Yeah, but I'm sure it's like any other city.
By the time we get there, I figure pot will be legal, so everybody will be wrecking their cars into you probably.
Take Uber, let them wreck other cars. So,
right.
But yeah, we had a great time in Chicago meeting with you guys, and just, you know, everybody in the podcast space was there. It kind of reminded me of the old Ontario meetups where, you know, pretty much everybody knew everybody or knew of everybody. This, you know, of course I didn't know a lot of the entrepreneur types that were there. And so I got to meet quite a few people and definitely caught up with, some of the old gang, and that was, a lot of fun.
The first year, we were a little heavy on entrepreneur types. And we got got negative feedback from some people that it was too much about people wanting to make money. But, you know, when you're trying to get to go and you're taking any vendor you can get, you're not real picky,
Certainly. And there's nothing wrong with making money. That's, that's the thing. You know, I remember in Ontario, was it Leo Laporte was talking about it? That first year, and he almost got booed off the stage when he talked about advertising. And, you know, go 10 years in the future, and, that's all everybody's talking about is, you know, how do I make money? And
That's why I said it's changed so much since the early days.
Yeah.
And it was more of an art form in the early days instead of a income generator.
Right. And, you know, and I kind of, a little bit of both, you know, I've got my full-time gig because I podcast, you know, now I'm working for a podcast company and
Dave Jackson. Boy, there's lots of people.
Yeah. Yes. Lots of people are doing that. Ray Ortega does podcasting for a living for his company. And, you know, so there's other ways to make money. Like I was saying at the beginning, you used yours to promote your offline and online businesses that weren't podcasts. And, you know, so that's, you know, you're more likely to make money that way than you would be, you know, to get paid to actually podcast or have sponsors. You know, as you said, the CPM rates are, you know, they're okay, but unless you've got a mega amount of listeners, you're not going to make any money doing that.
Well, when I first started the Fast Pitch TV show, I had, been doing it couple months, and I had a call from Easton Sporting Goods, and they said they wanted to advertise on my podcast. I said, wow, that's pretty cool. I only got like 300 viewers. I said, I didn't tell them that. They didn't ask, and I didn't tell them.
There you go.
And they said, we would like to advertise on your podcast. How much would that cost? And I said, about $300 an episode. And I think that was the rate. And they said, sounds good. We want to take the whole year, and we'll send you a check for the year in advance. I was like, nice. Holy cow. That was nice. Yeah, I had like 300 listeners. I got paid like 1,200 times 12, you know. So I was super excited. And then the end of the year came, and they didn't renew. But by the end of the year, I was up to 4,000 listeners, maybe, or viewers. And I was kind of going, well, this is not a good deal. Now, those podcasts have been playing, because my content is really super evergreen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, super evergreen. An Olympic pitcher or Olympic batter telling you how to hit a home run is never going to be bad content, you know. And, you know, now those shows have still run. They've been running for 6-7 years, you know, for free. And that's when I decided, I don't want to do that anymore. That's not a good deal. You know, if you've got evergreen content, giving someone an ad for eternity, you know. So that's when, I know there are other ways to do it, but that's the way that one was set up.
Sure.
And it seemed like a really good deal at the time. Now I'm like, God, I can't believe I'm still running their ads, you know, on those shows. And those shows are still getting 500, maybe 1,000 views a month.
Yeah, you know, you could go back and edit it, but is it really worth it?
Yeah, I'm not going to mess with it.
Yeah, but, you know, like, like what you were saying there, you know, with the having the ads like that. Yeah, that sounds like a great deal, you know, when you're first starting out and you only have 300 listeners. That's kind of, you know, what I would do if I was to get a sponsor. Now, this show is officially sponsored by Blueberry now. But that's not, you know, the same sort of deal as I would go. If I was doing a different podcast about something different and I wanted to go out and get a sponsor, if I wanted to do that, I would go get the sponsor, not on a CPM basis, but a per episode basis, like what you did, you know, and
right.
You look at Glenn Hubert. Do you know who he is? Or
yeah, horse guy.
Yeah, horse guy. He does that horse radio network. He doesn't do anything. You know, he doesn't even look at his stats. You know, he doesn't care if he's got 12 listeners or 12,000 listeners.
I don't look at my stats either. I don't know when the last time I looked at my stats were. I was thinking about that today. I probably need to look at the stats and see how many people have listened to episode one of the Fixer Upper podcast, but I haven't done it. I'm not a real big stats person. And if people call me talking to me, I really don't talk stats that much because I don't know them.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, some people get fixated on the stats, and stats can be important if you are doing the CPM thing, but then that leads to, you know, stuff like Twitter bombing and all that stuff where people try to game the statistics, and you know, that can be a real problem. But, yeah, I see what you mean. But, like, you know, with Glenn, I know he doesn't pay any attention to his stats. All he knows is his ads work, and he charges what they're worth.
Well, I believe in that, too. I think he is definitely on the right track, because that's how it ought to be done.
Yeah, I've listened to a couple of his shows. I haven't had horses in 20 years, but every once in a while it's kind of fun to, you know, just see what's going on in the horse world. And it's a whole different world from when I had horses. And I'm sure the softball world changes quite a bit too, from time to time.
See, I thought I'd look, since we were talking about it. Episode one of Fixer Upper has had 830 listens.
Nice. Yeah, that's a great start.
So, well, that's not all in 1 month, though. That's how many people listen to it.
Yeah, well, it doesn't have to be.
Hopefully, a lot of those people subscribe, so when episode one, or I guess two, or whatever we want to call it, comes out.
When the next episode comes out.
Yeah. Yeah, I hit a winner right off the bat there. We're just waiting. The TV show doesn't start until another month or something, you know, and every day when the TV show comes out, every night, the next day, we'll do the show.
Nice. Yeah,
we're just waiting on the TV show to come out.
Yeah, there's a Cliff Ravenscraft. He pretty much started out doing a podcast about the TV show Lost, and that's what got him going. And you know, so those kind of fan shows, those kind of fan shows are definitely good. And yeah, with your wallpaper shop as the sponsor, that probably works pretty good.
Yeah, and the gal who does the TV show now has a that decorator has two wallpaper books coming out, one this year and one next year, and you know we'll have the wallpaper books, you know, 2 months before, or no, maybe 6 weeks before anyone else does. So we'll be able to start pushing those books right away because they love her. That whatever she does, they love.
Oh, that's
so we should do well with this.
Yeah, you should. Yeah, 800 to start with, even over a couple of months. That's awesome.
Yeah, so I figured, I think that'll grow quickly. I really do. And that's what I was saying about it. We're making content so we can advertise on it.
Yeah.
That's the whole reason we're doing this show is so we can have an ad on it.
Yeah. You know, way back in the beginning of radio, this, here's a weird story that I don't know why it's even in my brain. But there was a radio station in Iowa that the guy that bought the radio station and set it up, this was like one of the first stations in the country. I can't remember the call off the top of my head, but basically it was Dr. Palmer, who was a chiropractor that wanted to push the agenda of chiropractic. And he had a chiropractic school, and the radio station was on the top floor. And he bought the radio station specifically to advertise his chiropractic business.
Yeah, smart man.
And you know, he used the same model you're using, only he did it on radio.
Commercials. Yeah.
So and the Palmer School of Chiropractic is one of the largest in the world. So it worked out for him. So. All right. Hey. I told you I'd try to keep this to around a half an hour, and we're about at that point. Where can people get a hold of you, follow you on Twitter, whatever?
I'm pretty much Gary Leland everywhere.
Yeah,
you search Google for Gary Leland, I'm probably the first 10 pages. So.
Yeah, or Podcast Pickle comes up good still.
Yeah, that still comes up. But my website is GaryLeland.com, my Facebook Gary Leland, my Twitter's Gary Leland. So then I have Leland's.org. I run, you know, maybe 50 websites.
Yeah.
So I have so many, it's hard to tell people what to do. So I made a website, Leland's.org. All that's on there are my websites. So are my websites, my books, my apps. Everything I do is listed on that site. And that's all that's on there.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Yeah, I got a paragraph in one of your books there a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah, 100 podcast tips. That did real well, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I had to buy a copy just so I could read mine and see what everybody else said.
Yeah, we did real well. That was I still sell that. That still sells real well.
Yeah, go look it up, 100 podcast tips on Amazon.
100 podcast tips, yeah. So. Yeah, that was an easy project. Everybody jumped in to contribute, and some big names jumped in there. Yeah.
So. All right. Well, we'll let you go. And like I said, thanks for being on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. I always enjoy it. Anytime you just let me know and I'll come on. I like talking. You know, when you talk on podcasts, it gives you kind of a break from working. Even though it may be still working, it's not like working. You know what I mean? It's a little different.
Yeah, exactly. I'm taking a break from work myself. So,
you know, I always tell people to podcast about something you like, that you really like. Because if you do it every day, every week for 10 years, in 10 years, it's work. No matter how much you like it, 10 years doing anything, it becomes work. And if you loved it when you started, you may still like it 10 years later.
True. That is true.
If you really didn't like it at all when you started, you're going to hate it 10 years later.
Yeah, don't pick a subject for your podcast just for money.
Now, in 10 years, you're going to hate it. So. You're going to shut down. You aren't going to make it 10 years. Let me put it that way.
Yeah, that's more likely. Most podcasts still don't get past episode 7.
Yeah, that number has changed. When we figured it out back in, in 2006, maybe, we had to go through, we went through 20,000 podcasts on the directory. One at a time, all the crew that worked here, looking at them to see if they were podfaders, or if they were episode shows that like did 30 episodes and came to an end, like a book. You know, we wanted to clean up the directory to make it more usable. And back then, we came up with the pickle rule, we called it, and it was 5 episodes.
Okay.
And we didn't do any stats keeping. Just when we all got through, we kind of agreed and said, you know, if they make it to 5, it looks like they make it to 30.
Yeah.
That's the number. They make it to 5, they probably, the odds are, they're going to make it to 30. Now, that's, podcasting's a lot easier to do now. I wouldn't be surprised now if it's not higher than 7. You know, the easier it gets, the higher that number is going to get.
Yeah, and a lot of people will record their first 10 episodes before they launch their podcast. So, you know, at least they got the 10.
So the number is going up. You know, you think about how hard was it for us to do back then. You know, people go, oh, I'm doing all this work and no one's listening. Now they can't really complain about all the work. They just get tired of doing it.
Yeah, yeah. You know?
So I wouldn't be surprised, though, really, if someone redid that number. Because we did it 5, and I think maybe Cliff or somebody said it was 7 a few years later. I'd be surprised if it wasn't 10 now.
Yeah, it could be. Blueberry, we just pulled a bunch of numbers off of our directory, which is up to about 325,000 shows. And we did a blog post about that over at powerpresspodcast.com. But they measured the shows that haven't put out an episode in the last 30 days and the last 60 days. And it was pretty amazing how few podcasts were actually active, but were still listed everywhere.
Yeah, I believe that's what I said. And back then in the day, we didn't want to delete people. Why didn't y'all just delete anybody who hadn't done a podcast in 6 months?
Yeah,
we're going to have some great content that just ended. I mean, it wasn't like they pod faded. They were through, like a history podcast or a book podcast. We didn't want to delete all that.
No, of course not.
Yeah, so the really only way we could do it was, at the time, the easiest way was to go through it.
Yeah, that's back in the, you know, you had to do everything manually. You know, nowadays, like I said, it's fairly easy to get a podcast feed up. If you understand WordPress, you can do it, or there's several companies out there that do it.
The number would be easy. Because once you get it up, it's easy to add them now and stuff. I mean, everything's easy about it now.
Yeah. Now, the subscription side of it's still a little bit of a challenge. You know, when I try to explain to my mother about subscribing to a podcast, you know, her eyes glaze over and, you know, that's too many steps.
Yeah, I have to agree. That hasn't got a lot easier.
It's certainly easier, though. I remember you had to download an app for your computer. Then you had to download some sort of plug-in for your device, what, you know, iPod or iRiver or whatever.
And then you had to
plug
in your device every morning before you left to get the latest episodes.
You had to make sure you sync everything. And you know, sometimes that would go wrong, and then you'd be either late for work or you wouldn't have anything to listen to. Yeah, I remember that.
Well, that's why I think is one of the reasons for growth so much is the iPhone, because, you know, now – you know, that was the first one basically that you could would sync on your phone without having to plug it in.
Yeah.
You know, to me, that was a big, big point in podcasting. And I think another big point was when the native app on Apple, they put a podcasting app as a native app so people could discover it. You know, what is this?
Right. Yeah. And Android now has theirs, you know, with Google Play. You know, plus there's a bunch of good apps over on Android. And even
tell how the Pixel's going to be. It could be when the Pixel phone comes out, that could be a native app on Pixel.
Yeah, very well could be. I think Pixel is Android, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's owned by Google. It's a Google phone owned by Google.
Yeah. I saw a little blurbs about that. I hadn't really looked into it too deep yet. I still like my iPhone 6 Plus.
Yeah, I don't know that much about it because I don't have any Google phones. I have an iPhone 6 Plus also, 6S Plus. Yeah. So, you know, I wait till the 7 Plus comes out, 7S, to get a new one.
Yeah.
But
don't drill a hole in the bottom of it for the phone jack.
Yeah.
You see that?
Well, I've been using wireless headphones for about 2 years.
Yeah, you see, you're ahead of the curve there.
Yeah.
With me, I still plug it into the car stereo and all that good stuff, so.
I just throw on my headphones. You know, I like having my headphones on. I really do. Because, like, when I walk into 7-Eleven or something like that, people don't talk to me.
I do that on airplanes. I bring my big old Bose headsets, and I don't even turn them on. I just have them on so the guy in the seat next to me doesn't talk to me.
Yeah, I get out the car, and sometimes I leave my phone in the car, you know, but I got my headphones on, and then, you know, after about 30 feet, the signal gets lost, but I'm not going to take them off,
right?
You know, while I'm walking through the 7-Eleven, and no one bothers me. People look at me and start to say something, say, oh, you're listening. Yeah, yeah.
All right, Gary, I got to let me stop the recording here, and we'll get this posted tomorrow.
I enjoyed it.
All right.
Blueberry.com is the digital media interface for everyone. Consumers, find great content and create a single RSS feed for all your favorite shows. Creators, post your show and get comprehensive stats and easy-to-read reports. Advertisers, access new markets via hundreds of available content channels that reach across all demographics. The Blueberry Network, online at blueberrynoease.com.
And speaking of Blueberry, if you'd like to get a free month of anything over at Blueberry Stats, a website, a hosting account for your media, just use the promo code HELPDESK over at blueberry.com, and that'll give you the free month, and it will give you my undying affection, however you put that. But anyway, of course, we're sponsored by Blueberry, and the best way to show your support is to sign up. Of course, we are the best podcast hosting company in the world. You know, of course, I'm biased, but that's all right. That's the way it's supposed to go. Yeah, one other thing I wanted to talk about, of course, last week I just had that little 5-minute show there, which was part of my podcast help desk quick hits. And I kind of rebranded that a little bit. Now it's a podcast Quick Hits by PhD. And anyway, go over to podcasthelpdesk.com, and in the sidebar there, you'll see a widget with all the big bright buttons there. If you click the black one that says more subscribe options, you can subscribe both to this show and the quick hits, little 5-minute per episode thing. I plan on doing a lot more of those. I'm not going to promise any particular schedule, but I figure I'll come up with 2 or 3 per week. Kind of nice that I can get that out. You know, if something sticks in my craw, you know, if I notice something, you know, working the tech support angle, if I notice something that's coming up more than others, I can cover that in the quick hits by just hitting record, recording for 5 minutes, uploading, be done with it. And so I think that one is going to become just as popular as this main feed. And I truly hope that. And also, I've been talking with the founder of International Podcast Day, Steve Lee, and talking with the founder of the Modern Life Podcasting Network, also Steve Lee. Of course, this show was part of the Modern Life Podcasting Network, and for various reasons at that time, I left. And this is now independent, but we did move the Geek of the North show over there. And when I took hiatus from this podcast, I also took hiatus from that podcast. And, you know, that's the way it goes. But I am planning on restarting Geek of the North. And that's still over at the modernlifepodcastnetwork.com. So go check that out. I should have a new show out sometime this weekend. Of course, this is the 7th of October. 2016. So if you're listening to this way in the future, yeah, that's already happened. But go check it out, modernlifepodcastnetwork.com. And I'm going to play a little promo of them if I can find it on my soundboard here while I'm talking. And it doesn't seem like I'm having any luck.
The Modern Life Podcast Network focuses on technology, lifestyle, business, sports, and culture. Our modern lives can be hectic, demanding one day and relaxing the next. Our hosts discuss the issues facing our modern lives and provide the answers and ideas to make the journey through life and business a bit easier. Find your new favorite podcast at modernlifepodcastnetwork.com. Modern issues, modern discussions.
Yeah, and I had thought about actually killing that one, and it came really close to that. And the more I think about it, the more I think it'll be fun, but I'm going to take all the pressure off. I'm not going to say that's going to be a weekly one. It's going to be whenever I do an episode. And what I really want to do is do higher production value, single subject, pick something in technology that's a little offbeat, or maybe have a rant on some shorter show. But, I'm going to be experimenting. So, like I said, go check that out over at modernlifepodcastnetwork.com. Look for Geek of the North, and there'll be some new and hopefully interesting stuff over there in the future. So, looking forward to that. Let's see, in some of the other podcasting news, as far as I'm concerned, of course, MikeDell.com, the Mike Dell's World podcast, is still going after 11 years and a couple of name changes, but it's still there. So go check out that at MikeDell.com. I tend to talk a lot about Michigan and my hometown of Traverse City. Of course, I got another podcast. Yeah, imagine that. And, some of my advice to new podcasters is don't start too many podcasts. And, that goes for us that have been around a while. But I do have the Traverse City podcast. That's over at traversecitypodcast.com or tcmi.blueberry.com. Both of them work. And I will be posting snowbird news over there as all the snowbirds leave the area and head to Point South where it's warm, and currently they're having a hurricane down in Florida or wherever it hit. I actually haven't been watching the last few hours, but anyway, a lot of the people that live here in Michigan and more specifically around the Grand Traverse Bay area move to Florida, Texas, Arizona, California, Nevada, wherever, they go snowbirding. And I kind of want to make the winter version of the Traverse City podcast a lot about what's going on here in Traverse City while they're sitting down there in the sun. And I'm also going to, intersperse some Traverse City history, some Traverse City news, maybe some restaurant reviews, that kind of thing. So that's my foray into local podcasting. And I do want to shout out to Steve. Not Steve Lee. Shout out to him twice. This is Steve, otherwise known as Omelette. He did the morning show on a local radio station here, WKLT, and I filled in over there a few times as his news guy on the morning show. And he has parted ways with WKLT. I was going to say WKRP in Cincinnati. No, that isn't the one. But anyway, Steve is ramping up for a new project. I can't talk anything about it, but I'm looking forward to working with him on that. And those of you that may be interested in what a morning show disc jockey does, Steve will have something interesting coming soon. So Steve, we'll talk to you this weekend, and everybody else, catch me later. That's all, folks.